Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Westwood for another edition of UCLA Bruin Talk. With Allison Taylor, I'm Dave Marcus. Thanks for joining us. Today, a very interesting look at a couple of programs on campus that are up and coming. We're going to talk with women's rowing in just a few moments.
Before we meet our first guest, let's take a look at the upcoming events.
Welcome back to Bruin Talk. Our first guests today are seniors in the Varsity 8 on the UCLA women's rowing team, a team that hasn't been in existence that long, but has become a national power, and a lot of it due to the efforts of our first two guests. Ariel Handler is a coxswain, and Anastasia Alexander is a rower on the boat. And welcome to Bruin Talk.
Thank you.
It's got to be great for you to be sitting in here and not working out on the ergometer for a few minutes.
Just for a few, yeah.
Tell us about the kind of endurance training you have to undergo to be a rower at the college level.
The training is obviously extremely difficult, but very rewarding. As far as the ergometer goes, obviously a lot of hours are spent up at Drake Stadium on the dreaded machines, which should not be so dreaded, but they are. But yeah, a lot of the basis is laid out there on the erg, so that when race day does come around, we have a lot to go off of, and it's not as challenging as it can be.
Ariel, you've got a great name for a coxswain. Ariel Handler, because you handle these boats.
Yeah.
As a senior, a lot of experience now working with the rowers in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back with all that experience, it's got to make it better, easier for you to help get the most out of your team.
It is and it isn't. The team has changed so much from year to year that it's better to adapt instead of getting kind of complacent and, oh, this worked last year or the year before. It's better to kind of adapt and just be as on top of my game as they are as much as possible. So I try to keep in mind the new kids and, you know, everyone's changing and whatever the coach wants that day. So I try to keep it as fresh as possible, but also going off of what I know.
You're the only one that sees where the boat's going.
Yeah.
And you can tell where the other boats are that you're racing mm-hmm. against. How much does that influence? Are you watching the other boats? How much does that influence what you're doing in the start of the race?
So they're supposed to keep their eyes forward at all times. It doesn't always happen. It's kind of hard, especially when you're curious about what's going on. But for me, most of my time is spent just keeping a straight course, as straight as possible. So I have a really small steering cable. And then just looking from side to side, depending on how many people are in our race. So they're completely blind unless I tell them where everyone else is. So I try to be as specific as possible. If it's a one-on-one race, it's kind of easier, but some of our races later in the year, like Pac-12s, it's, you know, seven boats across, so it gets pretty complicated.
Ariel, rowing is a sport that a lot of people may not know a lot about, and usually Dave and I were talking before the show that when I think of rowing, I only think of the people that are actually doing the rowing.
Yep.
How did you get into being a coxswain? Was that something that you started at a young age, or did you just kind of stumble into it?
When I was about 13, I started rowing. They started us off as rowers. Everyone who's too small, they still made you row because it's kind of hard to handle a 60-foot boat when you're that age. My brother actually got me into it. We both started together. He was my first rower as I sat in the coxswain seat, which was really funny. But yeah, I started at a really young age and been rowing ever since. So it's just kind of one of those things. People tell you, oh, you're small, you're not going to get much bigger, and you're pretty loud and smart, so maybe you should be in a boat. So it's more of an East Coast. Like, I started on the East Coast, and people really knew that I'd be good at it, I guess.
Anastasia, as somebody who is in the boat, we talked about the ergometer. I mean, mm-hmm. you do countless hours working on that. But when you get on the water, your timing's got to be just perfect. Yeah. How do you simulate the timing when you're working out on the machines that you're going to need when you get into the water?
There's a couple of ways that we can do it. There's not too often that we emphasize timing while we're up on the erg necessarily, but we do have these terrible, terrible things called slides that they put on. Some people use them every time they erg, other people don't use them at all, but you just set the ergs on these moving contraptions, and you can connect multiple ergs. So with that, you have to all be able to do it together. Otherwise, they're just all over the place. It's a mess. So we can do that. We've done it probably three times. We do it like three times a year. Not often, but we do have them. And then if our coach wants us to be working on timing, she'll let us kind of take a breather from the power and ratio and stuff, because sometimes it's hard to juggle the two on an erg. And she'll say, all right, at this finish, I want all of you to be finishing together. So we'll be up there on the ergs in unison. It's a lot of fun. I like it.
Rowing is really a whole body activity. People mm-hmm. see the arms moving, but you've got to have your back in shape, your mm-hmm. legs in shape. what kind of training do you do to get the whole body working together?
Well, we were actually just talking about it last week. We do a lot of running. We obviously are in the weight room. We're in there two times a week for an hour. So we're doing all the Olympic lifts, Olympic deadlift, just all different kind of leg exercises. As far as the back goes, the stuff that we do in the training room also helps. And then obviously being out there on the water, I think for the back, that's the biggest thing. Yeah. But the combination of erging, rowing, and a weight room, well, that'll do it.
You guys have a really large team with, I believe, yes. 25 freshmen.
Yeah, somewhere around that.
Yeah, and you two are the only two seniors. So how do you guys work within the team to bridge the gap between the upperclassmen and the youngerclassmen? Because I'm sure, as you know, being a senior is a lot different than being a freshman.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think we're just kind of like a big family. Our team is like 50 plus, depending on who's, you know, able and ready to go that day. But like, we go on the bus every morning to practice and make announcements and try to be as team oriented as possible. We do a lot of, you know, extra activities as a team. We do a lot of movie nights and like chick flick nights and bonfires and stuff like that. Like, we do t-shirt making, and we all have our big sis, little sis type thing. So we each get all the returners get a freshman, like, right as they're coming into school, so that if they have any questions or need anything, they can just talk to us about it. I don't know, like, it is a really big gap, but we try as much as possible to keep them engaged, and they're really, really great, and it's actually, like, a really awesome group this year, and, you know, it's not something that is really hard to do because they're so awesome.
Even just, like, going to the dining hall in the mornings, like,
oh,
not
yeah, they swipe us.
Swipes,
but no, but they like to do it.
But, you know, it's one of the ways that you can get in there and kind of interact with them. And even if it's, like she was saying, we do a lot of team, like, planned stuff. It's always fun to just, like, randomly, if one or two of the freshmen be like, hey, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? So not necessarily planned out, but just kind of bringing them into the team and, like, becoming an upperclassman to encourage them that, hey, like, your senior year, you could be doing this, and that's your responsibility.
Tell us how the off-water chemistry translates into success in the boats.
It's actually a really big part of rowing. It's a lot of mental, because it is, like, a sprint sport, so you're pushing yourself as hard as you can for, like, between 6 and 7 minutes, so a lot of the thoughts start to creep in. So, like, when we bond as a team outside of rowing, it really does let you trust your teammate. So people on the rowing machines and just in the weight room, and just seeing that everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing is really helpful to let you trust that person. So you're watching them, like, you're watching their back, and the person behind you is watching yours, and it's that kind of translates. It's a metaphor, like, you know, the person behind you is watching your back, and just reminding them, especially as a coxswain, just keeping in mind, like, when I'm talking to them, like, you have to trust each other. That definitely brings up the morale. It's just a it's as much a team sport as basketball or volleyball. The chemistry is really important.
You've got a couple of different things to worry about as a coxswain. You've got to have a clock in your head.
Yeah.
But you're starting from a dead stop. You've got to get the boat going, mm-hmm. and then the stride has to be maintained as you go down the course. Mm-hmm. What do you do as a coxswain when you can see, God, they're just not together, things are a little bit off? How do you make those adjustments?
If it's off, it really is something like my voice and how I say things. If it's frantic and if I'm worried, they get completely worried. It's kind of similar with, you know, a sport that's maybe on land and your coach. If your coach is worried and you see that in their eyes, like, it starts to get you a little bit tense. So if things aren't going really well, I say something like, you know, let's refocus, regroup, reestablish our ratio, and, you know, take into the next 10 strokes. It's a new piece. It's a new game for us. Just remembering that what I say is what dictates how they're feeling. So I just kind of have to keep that in mind.
Your first race is just over a month away now, March 3rd at Marina Del Rey. Yep. I'm sure you guys are getting excited. What's the training like right now in that final push right before the start of the season?
Right now we're in just kind of still going off of like our winter mode and our fall mode, just keeping the base of like endurance and long distance stuff at this point. We've been doing a lot of small boats and just technical stuff to get everyone ready. And we'll kind of have a little bit more of a push as we get closer. Our season is really long from March to the end of May. So, like, that's long for us. Just trying to peak at the right time. Right now we're kind of, as we're coming up right now. So the intensity is going to get higher as we go back into the larger boats, the eights, and the weight room. Everything will get a little bit more picked up. So right now this week is a little bit on the lower end, and then it'll start to peak.
And it's different than, and like, this is the first year that I think we've done that. We usually have started picking it up a lot earlier, so we're kind of doing something a little different this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, you were a top 10 team in the NCAAs last year, mm-hmm. finishing ninth in the country. That is a great accomplishment. I want to ask you, Anastasia, the Varsity 8 obviously has 8 people in it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you
nine.
Look?
Nine.
Well, nine. Forgive me. 8 people growing.
Yes.
What are you looking at when the race is going on?
Like she said, the person's back in front of you. You got to just kind of maintain your focus. If you're going to look at anything outside of the gunnels, which are the sides of your boats, it's got to be your oar or your rigger or the person's oar in front of you. I've stroked a few times, which is the person closest to the coxswain. So when you're in that case, you can just kind of look at her and feed off of her a little bit more, which is really fun.
The marina channel that you have your races in, it's an interesting setup with rocks on both sides, and there's a couple bridges over there, and
yeah.
when you go under the bridges, you get a kind of a sense of where you are on the course, right?
Yeah.
Other than that, do you have any idea where you are in the race?
As far as where we row, I'm pretty good now at knowing where I am. If we're on like a new course or somewhere that I have never been, I could have absolutely no idea, and I'm relying on this girl. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting. I like it sometimes, not knowing. You know what you have to do at any given point during the race, so whether it be at the 500-meter mark or the 750-meter mark, you know what you have to be doing. So just kind of trust what she has to say and go off of it.
Ariel, has your attention ever wandered to the point where, hey, we're not on course? You ever have to make those corrections where, hey, wait a second, I got to look where we're going?
Well, if you're on a course like ours, there aren't any markers for, like, a lane. But if we go somewhere else, they're usually marked. So that's a lot easier for me. But since I'm used to being on this course, and it's pretty much a straight shot, like, there's not a whole lot of wavering that you can do. Yeah, sometimes you just get a little bit here and there, because how the boat goes is dictated by their power application. So if someone's going a little less than the other person, will start to turn. So that's the small adjustments that I have to make and just maintain that, like, you can basically take a point on a marker somewhere far down away and just hold it. And if you don't, you got to come right back in.
Well, it's a great spectator event. People can go down to the marina. You
yes.
can ride your bikes up along the
yes.
top of the jetty and follow the whole race. It's really a great setting. And we wish you guys the best of luck as the season starts.
Thank you.
And we will come right back to UCLA Bruin Talk to meet our next guest right after this public service announcement.
A trophy can be made just about anywhere. But there's one place where champions are made. UCLA, champions made here.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Bruin Talk. It is now time to honor our Student Athlete of the Week. This week, we honor Markel Walker of the women's basketball team as our Student Athlete of the Week. Walker, a junior, helped her team in beating the Buffaloes this last Sunday in overtime by tying a career high with 24 points and an additional 10 rebounds. The final score was 62-54, and it was Walker's second straight double-double and fifth of the season. Towards the end of the game, Walker made a pair of free throws to bring the lead back up to 7 at 58-51 with 34 seconds left, solidifying her team's lead. Congratulations, Markel, and good luck with the rest of your season. If you would like additional information about UCLA athletics, please visit our website at uclabruins.com.
Our next guest on Bruin Talk is really fast. In fact, today might be the only place you see him in one place at the same time. He's a jetter. He's a sprinter. Max Dice, welcome to Bruin Talk.
Thank you for having me.
What a sprinter doesn't get a chance to make a second-half comeback. You've got to get it right the first time. Mm-hmm. How much of it is just natural speed, and how much of it is working on the technique?
Well, it's a good mixture of both. Like when I was in high school, I had a lot of natural speed, but it wasn't getting me very far. And I had some good coaching once I came here. Worked a lot on my technique, and it's gotten me to where I am today.
We talk about nerves and some people having to deal with nerves. You have to get into those blocks to run the 100. Mm-hmm. What are those last few moments like when the starter says, set?
They're really exciting, actually. I tend to not get nervous too much besides the relay, actually. I don't want to let down my teammates. But as far as my own individual races, I'm excited to run.
Max, you compete primarily in sprint events. Have you always been a sprinter? Is there a reason behind your choice to be a sprinter? And have you ever done anything else?
I used to hurdle in high school, but I got a chance to run the 100, and I was much better at that than I was at hurdling. And it was a lot more fun, too. So it's kind of stuck with me.
Well, it's always more fun to do something that you're good at, right?
Well, you run the 100, you run the 200, which is, I think, the toughest race in track, and the 4x100 relay, and you mentioned the timing you have to have with your teammates on the passes. Which one do you enjoy running the most?
Probably the 200. There's something about like coming off the turn, and you're leaning into it, and then you actually stand up, and it kind of slingshots you out, and that's one of the best feelings in the world.
This time of year, you start with the indoor meets, and you're running on a bank track. How long did it take you to get used to running on that angle?
I would say that I'm still not completely used to it. I never did it in high school, and I've only been to about 6 or 7 indoor meets since I got here. But I'm starting to figure it out and have a few more meets on a bank track. So.
Track and field is a huge team. There's so many guys and so many girls. How do you guys stay close? How do you guys stay kind of in sync to make sure that you're successful on the track?
Well, I think the thing that's unique about our team is we are pretty good friends even off the track. Like, I see a lot of other squads and they're like, it's very rigid with all the different events and stuff like that. But I could call up one of the throwers and be like, "Hey, what are you doing tonight? Let's kick it," or I can even do that with the jumpers. Distance doesn't really matter.
Max, you've had great success not only on the track but in the classroom at UCLA. You're a member of the director's honor roll. You've had a great grade point average. How tough is it to integrate your sport with your studies?
It's somewhat difficult. Being on the road it's always kind of tough to find time to prepare mentally for the race and prepare mentally like in the classroom. The coaches give us plenty of time to make sure that we get our classwork done.
You're local. You're from Moore Park, which is just on the other side of the San Fernando Valley. Mm-hmm. When did you realize that you actually had the talent to compete at the college level?
Probably once I switched to the sprints. Because like I said, I wasn't doing much in the hurdles. I had a couple people even telling me, like, you should aim a little lower than Division I. But I... thankfully, I switched events and kept at it, kept up with my, listened to what my coach said, and got here.
Now, I said something at the start of our talk that there is no second half in sprinting, but is there a second half in sprinting? Can you make adjustments mid-race?
You can. It's pretty difficult, but you absolutely can. Once you come off the turn, like I was talking about, that's probably the easiest place to make adjustments, but... like towards the end of the race, oftentimes you'll get tired and just kind of want to lope in But you really have to stay focused and figure out, like, okay, this step needs to go here and this one here, and I can't put my legs too far back. And
training for track and field, especially sprints, must be kind of tricky because you can't do sprints all out all the time. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about how you guys train, how you ebb and flow through sprints and longer distances.
Well, our coach doesn't really have much mercy for us. He kind of just tells us to run, and we have to do it. And we usually hit the times that he sets for us, but it's pretty rough. Most of the other people on the team like ask us how we do it because they see how much pain and stuff we're in. But you know, we all have a good support system around us. We all encourage each other to stand up and stay up and keep going and all this stuff. And even the other guys on the team cheer us on when we're coming around the turns.
One of the great features of college track and field, and in Southern California in particular, the dual meet. Mm-hmm. And you had a dual meet at USC last year. The Bruins came out victorious. Mm-hmm. This year they come into Drake Stadium. Mm-hmm. Tell us the feeling of competing in that dual meet situation against USC.
It's a lot of fun. I had my freshman year, I actually got injured during the 4x1, and I couldn't compete the rest of the meet. And it hurt so bad to watch my teammates go out there and compete and know that I couldn't help them. And but the following year, I tried to step up, and I did, and helped to had a hand in us winning against them. And I'm really excited for it this year too.
In a normal meet, I think everybody watches the other events, but maybe not as closely as they do in a meet against USC. Mm-hmm. But you've got the pole vaulters watching the sprinters. You guys are watching the throwers. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's everybody's pretty locked in for that meet.
Right, right.
Does the anticipation of facing an SC, does that make it tougher for you to actually execute what you need to execute in the race?
I would say it makes it easier because we know how much is on the line. And we know how much it means to us and the alumni, our parents, and just the school in general. And it makes it easier to get focused in.
Max, in high school, you were a 2-time captain and MVP of your team. What has the transition like been coming from high school into college?
It's a little different because in high school, as a captain, I was expected really just to lead the stretches. And that was about it. But like we've had a couple disputes on the team already, and I've been asked to step in and help resolve those. You know, set an example for the younger guys, and it's definitely different. But it's like I said, my coach is there to give a hand in helping out as a captain.
As a sophomore last year, you were second team All American in the 4x100 relay, and nationals is a whole different set of pressure, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Tell us what's that like when you're competing against people that you really have never seen before.
It's different because, you know, you can watch film and all that stuff, but it's a lot different once you're actually in the lane next to them. Like, you know what a lot of these guys are capable of, and you've seen their times and, like I said, their videos. And it's a little intimidating at times, I'll admit, but I'm up for the challenge.
You mentioned watching film. Mm-hmm. How important is it to watch film of your competitors?
Because our coach emphasizes with us that you should run your own race and don't focus too much on what the other people are doing. And if you already know what to expect from the other guys, it makes that a whole lot easier.
Let's talk about your coach by name. You've mentioned the coach a lot of times. Who's coaching you in the sprint events?
Coach Vaughn.
And when you work with Coach Vaughn, he mm-hmm. knows you now. It's your third year here. What kind of things have you begun to do now that you didn't maybe do when you were a freshman?
I'm a lot more focused on track. I remember my freshman year, I was playing too many video games, basically, and had a real rough time managing that.
Well, we were talking before the show about how this is an Olympic year. Mm-hmm. Do you have professional aspirations to move on after college?
I absolutely do. I feel like I'm far from making that leap, but I also feel like I'm definitely capable of it, and I have another 2 years to figure that out, so.
What do you think this team can accomplish this year as you're now going into the indoor season, pretty soon going outside? How good is this Bruin team going to be?
I think that we're very good. We have, on the sprint squad, we have a lot of really good freshmen. Coach brought in a lot of 400 runners who are very fast, know what they're doing. Our throws are ridiculous this year. We have two guys who are capable of winning a national championship. And along with our jumps and our distance, we're the sky's really the limit.
Max, are there any professional sprinters that you look up to? You were talking about how you did want to go on to sprint professionally. Is there anyone that you kind of admire and try to style your own running after?
As far as a running style, definitely Usain Bolt. Him and I are similar in the fact that we're both kind of tall and lanky. And I'm capable of having a running style much like his. And that I, even after this interview, I have to go over to Coach's office to study some of his film.
Have you adjusted your running style in the years you've been doing sprints?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said before, like when you're tired, you start to run long and your legs get too far in front and behind you. And since high school and even in college, I've learned to kind of quicken up my step. And Coach always says, like, ride the bike, and you just got to act like you're riding a bicycle, essentially. And
I'm going to ask you the same question I asked the rowers a few minutes ago. What, during the race, are you too aware of what's going on in the lanes outside of you?
You absolutely are. It's hard not to be, but the ultimate goal is to just focus on your race, because once you start realizing that, you know, there are people alongside you, that's when everything starts to go wrong.
Do you look at a point past the finish line?
Usually, yeah. It's a great relief to get to the finish line, but you as hard as you can try, you have to look past and realize you have to go, you know, 205 meters.
How long did it take you to learn how to lean? I mean, that's an art, is leaning for the finish.
I would say that I still haven't perfected it completely. It's kind of fun to do. Like, we even do it in practice, like when we're warming up, and we'll be doing drills and just kind of lean into the line just to make fun of each other, like a beach to the line. But it's, yeah, we get a lot of practice, and it's fun.
Do you ever do it when you're just on Bruin Walk, walking to class?
I should do that when I'm late to
beach
class.
Beat you to class.
Yeah.
Well, Max, we wish you the best of luck in the upcoming season. It's going to be a great year for you and for
Thank
the Bruins, and hopefully we'll see you at Nationals.
Thank you.
And we hope we'll see you at UCLA Bruin Talk when we're back next time with another great show. For Allison, I'm Dave. We'll see you later. Until then, so long from Westwood.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.